Africa Global Radio. Our story, our growth, our future.
Journey of Faith, exploring the Hajj experience with Alhaji Dr. Bella Bello Bitugu. Episode 5.
I had a rest on Tuesday, lazing around eating. I just realized that I'm really eating a lot. I have appetite, maybe because somehow we did not get the food we needed in both Medina, and when we came to Mecca and went to Mina, and those 3 days in Mina, nothing really, the same good old rice, tasteless, to a point where I nearly was becoming fed up even with the smell of the food. And fortunately, we did not get to that point. But if something happens and then it becomes a kind of something that I kind of detest, or just repulses me, then it is very difficult to get back to that food. I remember one time, that was I think in 1992-93, when I was in Austria, just very early, I don't even think I had even completed my German course. And there's this dessert, or you know, it's like a cake, like a pudding, called tiramisu. It's an Italian specialty, and they normally add rum to it, rum, the liquor rum. But we were in, you know, when you are studying, you can have a flat to share with 2, 3, 4, 5 people, and at that time I think we were 5 people, I think, sharing. And there was this Italian lady, Elena, and she then prepared the tiramisu. But clearly, as a Muslim, she did not use rum. I've forgotten exactly what she used, and I loved it so much. I loved tiramisu so much. That night I ate and ate tiramisu until above my throat, and I felt so bad later that I think it took about 2, 3, 4 years. I never wanted to even see tiramisu. Finally got over it, and that is what I'm afraid of, in case it happens with the food, rice, because you can't avoid rice now in this day and age, really. And especially when I don't eat soup or these carbohydrate things during the week, only on weekends. Yeah, so we came back and that arrest, and then yesterday, Wednesday, I decided to go to do a voluntary tawaf, and we got to the mosque. We really wanted, you know, the Kaaba is such that because of the number of people who come, there have been some expansions, and the expansion is such that there is the ground floor, if you like, where you are really by the Kaaba, where you can literally touch it. So we went to the first floor, I think it was, yeah. So we did our tawaf, and fortunately and luckily, we went at the time, and then all of a sudden it was time for Maghrib prayer. And we then stopped the circumambulation. It was during the circumambulation that the Maghrib prayer was called. And we did the Maghrib prayer then during the circumambulation before the Kaaba. And one other thing that happens here a lot is after every prayer you hear there is a janazah prayer. That is a prayer for the dead before they get to go, they are taken to be buried. We went there, and it was a bit difficult to enter because the place was full, and they wanted us to go to the first or second floor. But we said we really wanted to go to the ground one. It was something that we were bent on doing. We passed through all the gates, because King Fahad Gate and King Abdul Aziz Gates are the gates leading directly to the Kaaba. So we were at King Fahad's Gate. Actually, we were at some other gates which were not taking us there. So there was a point where I had an altercation with a military guy. I don't know, I think he's a police guy, where they had barricaded. But Honestly speaking, I knew there was a barricade, but I saw some people passing behind him. And I actually thought, look, sometimes some of the people come for whatever explanation or reason it is, they pass. So I thought, you know what, let me also just pretend as if I am with them or just follow them. And this guy just turned and then held me by the arm and then pushed me back disrespectfully, very aggressive, and to be very honest, before the Kaaba and Islamically, I was not amused. So I rushed onto him and asked him, why are you doing that to me? In fact, some people around were even telling him, no, this is not Islamic. No Islam. He turned away. I held him by the hand, brought him back and said, yes, why did you do that? Tell me. And in fact, at that point, people around realized what happened, and I and there were some elderly people from other countries, I think they are mainly Asians, and were saying, they were pulling me, said, no, leave him alone. And then another guy, military or police, saw what was happening and came and was shouting at the top of his voice. The people just said, go. And in fact, I didn't even do anything again. First of all, I thought, look, people and these elderly people were telling you, don't stop, it's okay, leave it. And secondly, we were by the Kaaba. I thought, if he wants to do something like that, then he should carry it on. He said, but not me. And I refused to be pulled into such a thing or altercation with him. So we then had to go round, and then we were assured that, look, it will only be open after Salat. So we decided, okay, let's go somewhere and then sit down and then be praying to Allah. And there are some sections where you see people sitting. It's made for, you know, recital of the Quran. So it was full. So we were in front, we sat down, then did some nafila there. And then I went with the chief accountant of the Ministry of Youth and Sports, who is also at the moment doing his Hajj, really. So we went, sat down there, did the nafila. Then I was started reading the Quran. He was reading something different. At one point, the police came and said, no, get up, stand up from there. I do understand them, that they want to create order, they don't want any accident to happen. And to be very honest, even with the guy who was aggressive towards me, I thought, you know, they are just tired and overwhelmed. I mean, you are dealing with 1.something million people, and it's, you know, it's not a pleasant job. You have to do it, but it's not really pleasant. And I'll be coming to my reflections on different themes and the rest later, but that will be coming later, and it will handle those military or security, whatever, personnel. Yeah, so we were there, then we prayed, then we were all standing at the gate, which would directly lead us to the Kaaba. In any case, that was around 6 there, about getting to 6:30. Got out to 7. Now we wanted to urinate. And you know, as a Muslim, to go to the Kaaba and do these things, you have to do the wudu, the ablution. And then you can't do those things when you have the pressures of releasing air or going to the washroom and the rest. So you had to be free. And we realized, actually, we needed to release and we can't hold it. Otherwise, it's not an acceptable ritual. So we had to go out. Now, if we go out, then it means that advantage location is lost. What do we do? It's at a catch-22 situation, there if you do, there if you don't. Because there are thousands, tens of thousands, if not 20s or 30s of thousands behind us. Tens of thousands. If you lose it, that is it. Somehow we decided, look, let's get out. I said, you know what, let's tell the bros on the gate that we will be coming and they should look at our faces. We're going to do wudu. you know, somehow they don't also speak the language. And we told them there were about 3 checkpoints. And when we finished, we came back. The first checkpoint said, no, this is only for exit. So we have to go for the entry gate, which is on the other side. And just as we were about to go there, the azan was called for the Maghrib prayer. So we decided to pray. And after prayers, we spotted on the other end that people were going to the Kaaba. So we said, okay, we have to join them. And fortunately, we joined them and we got to the Kaaba, where we were at the ground floor, really. And this was an experience. I mean, I did the first circumambulation. This is my third circumambulation. The first circumambulation was also on the ground there. But and it was new. It was my first time. I didn't understand it properly. I just read, got lectured and tutored, and followed the people. But this one, it was like I was technically alone, because when we got to the Kaaba, we agreed that when we're starting the circumambulation, we agreed where to meet with my colleague, the Alhaj Dr. Osman. So we started the circumambulation, and he, before we parted, he told me wherever he starts, he tried to pee. While circumambulating, he will be going in an angle to the point where he gets close to the closest to the Kaaba, and that is exactly what I did. Then I got to Maqam Ibrahim, the house which the footsteps or where Prophet Ibrahim stood and built the Kaaba. Then I even touched it, took pictures, and you can see the pictures. My arm is even on there, and it was so great, so such a wonderful feeling. I saw his footsteps. Surprisingly to me, the footsteps, I thought they were big, but they are really small footsteps. It's such a feeling. And then the points of Ishmael as well, circumambulating, going there, praying, circumambulating. It was tight, heavy, stuffy, hot, sweaty. Whew. It was really, really, really tough. Hot and the rest, and it was a very, very good feeling.
وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَن يَقُولُ آمَنَّا بِاللَّهِ وَبِالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَمَا هُم بِمُؤْمِنِينَ.
This is an Africa Global Radio production.